Chapter 9, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 9. And as we have been going through Jeremiah, I would remind you afresh and anew that Israel, has not done well. They have no solutions to a very increasing problem. And Nebuchadnezzar is on his way down from the north to the city of Jerusalem. He's going to destroy the city completely, and in a very devastating way. And so as he comes, remember now that here's Israel. Israel has the opportunity to trust God, look to God, but they aren't doing it. They have nowhere to go. They're looking at themselves. But looking at themselves and trusting themselves in their pride, they're depending on that. But as they look at themselves, they are very little, too small, and very limited. No solutions. And as they look around them, apart from Nebuchadnezzar, Egypt and all of that, there is no help coming at all. So they have no help, no hope, and yet they're plowing along in the understanding that maybe somehow things always work out, they'll work out again. And so they were doing that. And God is trying to help them. And they aren't going to stop doing what they're doing. They aren't going to believe. But God is going to give them some straight help, especially for the remnant like Jeremiah and the rest that are there. They're going to be able to be encouraged. And we are encouraged because here we are in these United States in a global situation. And each of you can go to work, home, and school, whatever you do. And you can look around at your friends and enemies. You can look around at the job market and the money market and all the other markets, political, social, economic, religious. You can do all that. And when you look around, if you really are looking around objectively, you aren't going to find very much help, if any. You aren't going to find any hope. I don't know where you look for it, what nation you want to look at. I don't know. And what social status you want to look at. Here's capitalism, but that's getting clobbered. Here we are out there, and so realistically, if you sit down, here you are proceeding down the corridor of time. But if you're going to be very, very, very realistic, there's not a lot going. I don't care how good you do in school, and you should do good in school. I don't care how your job is, thank God for your job. And how your health is, thank God for your health. But don't count on any of that. Don't count on it. All in flux. And it may not be at the moment, but tomorrow it'll show up. So you want to be ahead of the game. As we would say, you want to be in the cutting edge. You want to be ahead of everything. So now, God, you're going to help them do that? Absolutely. So we share together in verse 23, chapter 9, don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in anything about yourself. Don't trust in anything that anyone else in and of themselves are going to do. Don't trust in any system, political, economic, or whatever. Don't trust in any system at all. Don't do that. Don't trust humans. Don't do it. So that's what we're learning, and that includes ourselves. Secondly, we share together in verse 24, that God wants us to go and look to him And the real key then isn't looking at anything or anyone. It's looking at him. We say, should be looking, shouldn't we see something else? Well, it's because we see everything else that we're going to look to him rightly. And so as we look to God, we're going to seek and understand, as it says in verse 24, to understand and know him. And to understand in the earth, remember verse 24, judgment and righteousness in the earth. So we're looking, we aren't looking up into heaven for God. We're looking right down on the terra firma, right down on the ground level. We're looking out the window at ground level. That's where God wants you to see him, find him. Find what? God is being merciful, gracious, justice, judgment, righteousness. All of it's here. We're in the presence of it. We're in the presence of it. And that's where we want to find it. You want to find it in your bedroom, your kitchen, in your car, at work, in the school bus, at school. You want to find. There's a great God right here doing what he's doing. And thus, even with we're in a study in 2 Kings with Elijah, and Elijah's going in a most spectacular way, but God isn't going anywhere. God isn't going anywhere. God's right here. That's gone. That's true. Things are not the same. Job, home, work, school, health, not the same. But God's the same. And God hasn't moved. He never moves, since he's always present. And so I want to know that. So when I'm saying, well, boy, my car broke down. I have no car. You may have no car, but you do have God. Your washing machine may break. You may not have a washing machine, but you do have God. Whatever it is, God is still there. And I need to, that's what God is trying to help me. Understand and know me. Here I am. All right. Now, and we share together in the process. Not only was the issue, as we shared together, the humanity, humans, we don't want to trust them. And then we come to all the other stuff, the value of religions, the value of ritual. If I go and do something using a Buddhist or something, or other, counting my beads, you know, say da-da-da-da-da-da so many times, and you do your counting. And the more I count, the better, more power. No, it won't do any good. Won't do any good at all. So all the value of religion, all the value, the religion, the practice of religion, ritual, and the privileges that people have, special privilege to go in special buildings and do special things and wear special clothes they have. Wow. All of that, God says, I want you to understand that. So now, when we share it together, I'm just going to go very quickly in verse 25. And remember, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcision. So, God, you're going to go and punish them all, and they all practice something. And we shared together, not the last time, but so, and we shared together that the temple was going down. Nebuchadnezzar is going to knock the temple down. And we share that in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, etc. And they're trusting the temple. They're trusting the things that the temple is God's blueprint by way of Solomon. It's everything is of God. So how can you, if God will protect us? It's God's thing. Not really, because we're seeking to claim it for ourselves. So they claimed our temple, and God said, the temple isn't any good. You're trusting a temple, no good. And he told us that, we shared it. You're trusting sacrifices, and sacrifices are no good. But burnt offerings, and you told us to do them. And think of Solomon when he dedicated the temple. Thousands of animals. Thousands of them. Wow. It's no good. Hang on. The feasts are no good. All the seven feasts, the three that you have to go to the Jerusalem every year, that you have to go to, you're supposed to. And the feasts are no good. What about fasting? Fasting, fasting to show our sincerity or eager, whatever. No, that's no good either. So fasting, feast, sacrifices, whatever you want to do. You kneel, sit, and stand. Do whatever you want to do. You can go put yourself in a some building and dedicate yourself to something. You can do it. God said, listen, it's no value to me. So we got humanity out of the way, and we got all the things that humans do. Humans do all these things in a religious way, and they count on them. And the Jews were counting, among other things, they were counting on the fact of the Jews, and they belong to the Israel, they belong to the covenant, and they were counting on it. And thus, in the end of verse 25, all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcision. In other words, they're all judged. And remember, those two words go together. And those two words swing out. Uncircumcision, circumcision. Just like that. One, two. Thunderous silence. You see. And there's all kinds of ways to do it. Sweet. Ever hear? Sweet. Sorrow. Opposites. And they use, God, he uses language. And so what are you saying? I'm saying this. But I'm saying circumcision, uncircumcision. Foreskin, no foreskin. That's what you're saying. What are you saying that for? I want to make a point to you. Whether you are circumcised or you're uncircumcised, let me correct something. Because the Jews were dressing in this covenant. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and they're doing it, remember, they have the sign, circumcision, but they don't have the substance. They don't have any substance to go with it. So now, having said that, in verse 26, 9 and 26, and in the process now, verse 26, and I'm going to read the end of verse 25 so you go right in thought to it. Circumcised dash uncircumcised. Then, starting with Egypt, Judah. Remember, each of these we share together has a little preposition. Each one of you won't see it in your King James. Each one of them has a preposition in front of it. Little preposition says where, and slash, in addition. I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to add one thing after another. And thus, verse 26, in the light of circumcision, uncircumcision, add Egypt, add Judah. Add Edom, add the children of Ammon, add Moab, all that are in the utmost corners. Remember, that's as we shared it last time, that's the way I'll read the rest of it, that dwell in the wilderness, the desert. Just different desert tribes, the men cut their hair and shaved it and did different things. And that's how they were identified. You see the haircut, and you identify them as a whatever. And add them. Add everyone in that desert out there that are all the different tribes with all their different ritual. Add them all up together. And when you add them all up together, verse 26, all these nations, all of them, one after the other, are uncircumcised. And Egypt was probably practiced circumcision in some way. But only Israel in God's way, thus in having value. So here in verse 26, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised. No one's circumcised. And the key is the last three words, in the heart. None of them, including Israel. Everyone, everywhere, circumcision or uncircumcision, whether they've been cut or whatever, they are uncircumcised. They are in their heart. There's no circumcision. Now, so, in order to capitalize, and that's the key, in the heart. You're looking for what? The heart. Not our humanness, no. Not our religious system. Not our rituals. Not our discipline to do this and that. That isn't going to get you any merit. No reward. Now, having said that, go over with me, please, and we'll try to quickly just get a refresher. A wonderful, I hope, refreshment on circumcision. What was missing in their mind? They were doing it. They did it. And they were counting on it. God said, you're counting on the wrong thing. Now, over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. And in Genesis chapter 9, going if I can, remember you had the Noahic flood. And after the flood, God tells Noah and the humans that are left, his family and that. He tells them, he gives them a wonderful, wonderful promise. I am not going to flood the earth again. And I want you to know that this is a contract I make with myself. I make it because I judged you and all except for the eight of you that survived in the ark, you're all dead. I want you to know I'm not going to do that again, not that way. So he makes a covenant, and you know the sign, the rainbow, that's God's thing. And in verse 8 of chapter 9, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons and with him, saying, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. So I'm going to make a covenant with you. And the covenant involves the rainbow, and verse 12. And God said, this is the token, what am I going to look at? They were looking at circumcision. Now, in Genesis 9, they're looking at what? A rainbow up in the sky. That's why the rainbow is there. And in chapter 9, verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, one after another. I do set, verse 13, my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, a sign, something to see, something to put in remembrance, your heart. A token of a covenant between me and the earth. I make a promise to all human beings, sliding down to verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. Why? That I may remember. God, you may not see the rainbow, but God does. And I will remember the everlasting covenant, I'm not going to break it, between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. I'm going to go and make a covenant that I will not flood the earth in this way again, and I want all of humans that live anywhere in time to remember, when they see the rainbow, remember God isn't going to do it that way. So no matter what global warming or anyone says, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. God isn't going to do it. That's all there is to it. And so now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to chapter 17 again. You got the Noahic covenant, and now here's the Abrahamic covenant, and which you're familiar with. And in Genesis chapter 17, picking up in thought, now remember, God had made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 about a people, a nation, and all the nations to be blessed or cursed based on their relationship to Israel. So now, here's chapter 17. And picking up, if I can, in, go to verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token, a sign, something you look at, something you see, something to put you in remembrance. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me, between me and you. So you're going to know, not he didn't say anyone else, Abraham and his seed, Israel, when you see, when you, this covenant is between us, said God. Other people can do whatever they want, but between you and me, said God, this is the covenant we're making. And thus, verse 11, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token betwixt me and you. Now, verse 13. He that is born in my in thy house, and he that is born with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So I'm going to make a wonderful, wonderful agreement, a wonderful relationship, and I'm going to make it, and you need, verse 14, and the uncircumcised child whose flesh is in his foreskin is not circumcised. That soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And the uncircumcised child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised. So God, you're going to look for the circumcision. And the circumcision is a sign. All Jews were to circumcise the boy, the male, and the male representing the family, the male representing the people, all those males would represent the nation of Israel, and that was the covenant that they'd be identified as an Israelite, not just being circumcised, but being circumcised according to the covenant that God made with Abraham, not just circumcision, but that covenant that was to be understood, and thus it is a sign. Over, if I can, to verse 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. So that was the beginning to be set him apart, circumcised. And Ishmael, of course, Arabs, but they were part of the Abraham in unbelief. And there we are. So here's circumcision and the Abrahamic covenant in all of its wonderment. Now the question is, a question you want to ask yourself, why circumcision? And then God's going to help them because they aren't doing it. They aren't correctly circumcised. Why aren't they correctly circumcised? Because why? All right? Over now, we want to look at the circumcision and for what are you going to do? What's circumcision do? Over, if you would please, to Genesis. Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, picking up the thought. And in Genesis 2, you would recall verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs out of the side of him, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. In other words, he did the operation and sewed it all up again as a perfect surgeon, and I'm sure there was no scar, almost. Now, and thus the flesh, and verse 23, And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called." It's hard to say it. Woman. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So here's man and woman. And then, you know, they had Cain and Abel and all of that. Slide your eye over now. All of that's flesh. Chapter 6, how is humanity doing? All the people that came out of Adam and Eve, out of their flesh. And in chapter 6, remember, in verse 3, God looking at in the days of Noah, before the flood, and God said, "My spirit will not always strive," that is to judge, "my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, I'm going to give 120 years, and then I'm going to flood the earth. And that's what he did, of course. Now, in verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Verse 13, "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So he's looking at humans and how they're going to be tagged flesh, flesh. What is flesh doing? Well, flesh was good until Adam and Eve sinned, and then flesh was no good anymore. It was no good. Wouldn't work anymore. Can't do it anymore. And when you come over to chapter 17 again, just pop over there for a minute, in chapter 17, and picking up all in one place to get it, verse 13, 17:13, "He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, which needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." So flesh, 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 flesh. Always flesh. Physical flesh. And so now, having said that, why flesh? Well, because why? When we go, where does everyone come from? They come from the seed of the man. And the seed of the man is the root source of all humans. Now, where did Cain come from? Where did Eve come from? From his flesh. Where did anyone come from? From the flesh. From the flesh. Now, God, you are going to fix things. I am. I am. And he judged the flesh. God did, as you know. "No flesh shall glory in my presence." Now, God, what do you know? Well, we're going to have you cut off. You're going to have a unique relationship to me, as I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be your God forever. I'm going to be your God. So now, knowing that, I have to make a covenant with you that can make it. And I'm going to do that because Christ died on the cross for the Jew first and to the Gentile. He died for all of us. So now, having died, what did he do? Well, he have to cut off the flesh. What are you going to do? I want a symbol. I want a sign, a token that you'll know that you produce death. You give physical birth for people to live and die spiritually. You produce that. I'm going to judge the source of all humans from the seed of the man. I'm going to judge it and thus cut it off. Cut it off. I can't cut it off because there'll be no more children. But cut the flesh. Cut the flesh. Cut the flesh. Well, cutting the flesh, what's that do? Well, that tells you that you understand that I've made a covenant, a special covenant with Israel as with no other. It's going to benefit, the covenant is going to benefit everybody, but the covenant is with Israel. And there, the sign of that covenant is circumcision. of the flesh. Now, and we did that. Here's us Jews all standing there, and we all say, well, we did that. Therefore, we're part of the covenant. And that God said, no, that's not the way it is. Over with me, please, to Romans. Romans and chapter 2, reminding us. Romans and chapter 2, picking up, please, directly in the whole section on it, but, well, I'll read a little of it anyway. Verse 25. For circumcision, 2:25 Romans. For circumcision is verily profit, verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made, what? Uncircumcision. You might as well not have been circumcised. Circumcision is no good if it didn't get in your heart. Do you understand why you did it? Do you understand the relationship? Remember Jeremiah 9, 20, 24, 25, 24, and 5. Understand and know me. That's what I want you to do. I want you to know me. I don't want you to have a covenant, walk around with a thing like I'm a Jew. Is that what I need? I don't need Jews. I need people that believe me. And so now, picking up if I can, in verse 20, in other words, if the thing doesn't mean anything to you, if you have the sign, circumcision, but no substance, what good is it? Now, and thus, verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, that is a Gentile, if it fulfill the law. In other words, if a Gentile does the right thing in their heart and believes in their heart, if they do that, verse 27, thou shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter you are circumcised, and the circumcision doeth transgress the law. In other words, you're a Jew that breaks the law, and a Gentile that isn't circumcised keeps the law. What's the difference? I'm going to have the Jew. What was the advantage of circumcision? It didn't do you any good at all. Therefore, verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly on the skin, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. And not in the letter. It isn't in a perfunctory, is that the word? You go out and you're going to do, I did this and did this and now I get something. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. You got to have a heart. No heart, not going to go anywhere. Thus, verse 29. And not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So they need to have a heart problem. What do we read in Jeremiah 9 and verse 26? You got to have a heart. What's different whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised? They're equal. They're equal. If there's no heart. If there's no heart. If you have a heart, then things are meaningful to you. If your heart's right and you see the rainbow, it's a blessing. If your heart's wrong, it's just a rainbow to take a picture of. That's all. So now, having said that a little bit, over, if you would please, to chapter 3. In verse 20. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds, works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, God said, listen, you're going to try to keep things that you can't. You can't do it. Your religion won't do it. Your feasts won't do it. Your sacrifices won't do it. Your temple won't do it. None of it will work. So you're trying to do all this stuff to make it work, and it doesn't work. And so you can have it up here, and you can be enthusiastic and get up front and preach it and get them. But there's no heart. There's no heart. And you don't have anything. And so when you have that, yay, it won't be very long. It'll be in downhill because you have nothing to sustain it. You can't sustain enthusiasm for the football game or the basketball game or something. You can't sustain the enthusiasm when they lose. And then they lose again, and they lose again, and they lose again. It's hard to keep your enthusiasm up. So God, here's the Jew, trying to be enthusiastic and have some hope in the days of Jeremiah, but you aren't going to have it. And so now, while you're in Romans, Romans chapter 7, as you know, Romans chapter 7, please. And if I can, going directly to the Word, you'll see it in the light of the great struggle that the Apostle Paul had. Verse 18, 7:18 of Romans. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform, how to make it work out right, how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, I'm not going to, in my flesh, you know, that's right. So the circumcision, Paul, are you circumcised? Oh, I'm circumcised. But you, what are you learning, Paul? Well, circumcision in and of itself, and all the ritual and law and everything, all of that, without a heart, is no good. God, it doesn't mean anything. It's just ritual. It doesn't mean a thing. So God, you're looking for the heart. That's right. And while you're here, Romans chapter 8, you're right there. Romans 8, please, picking up in thought. Oh, in verse 8, you'll see it. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, Israel, you're supposed to have gotten circumcised, so you weren't trusting the flesh. You got cut it off, so you don't trust it. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Don't be trusting it. But we do. We do. What difference does it make? We keep doing the same thing. Flesh or no flesh. Circumcision or no circumcision. Therefore, God, here we are. Let me go back just very quickly and then come forward. Over, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 10. And just picking up so you get it, so you're connected in your mind. God, what did you tell Moses and the people? They should have understood, but they didn't. They should have. It wasn't a question they didn't know. They just chose not to know. So now, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16, directly. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your, what? Your heart. See? Was it a strange thing? No. You need to get circumcised in your heart. You'd had that as a little boy. You got circumcised. And that tells you, you have the privilege of being under the covenant, under the umbrella of God's grace. And you ought to get your heart right with God. But they didn't. And therefore, God said, circumcise your heart and be not more stiff-necked. And they got stiffer and stiffer. So when you come to Jeremiah's day, the Babylonian captivity, boy, are they stiff. Now, over to chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and getting it again in verse 6, 30 and 6. And the Lord thy God shall circumcise? No. Yes. God? You mean I'm not going to do it? No one else is going to do it? Nope. God said, I am going to circumcise your heart. Well, then I've got to look to God. I don't go to the doctor or the circumcision expert. I'm going to go to God. I need my heart circumcised. I've got to go to God. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So God, you're the one. That's right. I'm told. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm going to do it. And you have to believe that I'm going to do this for you. And that's why you're circumcised, because the Savior, the Christ of the tribe of Judah, is going to die on Calvary's cross. And he's going to make all of that that you thought could never happen for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's going to make it for real. In other words, he's going to go and put, think of getting a, remember we shared it before, think of getting a check, writing checks and checks for redemption. For getting saved. And I hand out, and you come forward, and I hand you these checks. And you take them, and you believe. You want to, you took the check, and looking to get, to cash the check. You're told you can't cash the check until Christ dies. Christ pays the price to put money in the bank to pay the bill. He can't offer you grace and mercy unless he dies. The grace and mercy of God is going to be made available because Christ pays the price on the cross. So now, so Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and every single, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of you guys and gals can go and cash that check. When Christ died on the cross and rose again, all of that was valid. And that's why Abraham in Sheol, paradise, waiting to go, they're all going to go. God, they pay. They got a check, and they believed. And God said, "I'm going to make it, so you can cash it." And when he died on the cross, they could cash the check. The check was cashed. The check was valid. All they had to do is turn it into God, their belief. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, Colossians. Over in Colossians, picking up, please, in thought. Now, here in Colossians, remember now, I hope I try to put the pieces a little bit in front of you there. Colossians chapter 2, God, and I can do it in Galatians and each thing, but we're going to take Colossians so you can see it. In Colossians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, in the person of Jesus Christ is God, all of God. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive all of God. You can't have any more of God when you get saved. You aren't going to have any more of God in heaven than you are now. The difference is, the environment and conditions are different to make it show up. So I'm not going to have any more of God. No. And here's a great God. That's why I read about God, to understand and know me and all these wonderful things about God and the magnificence of God, the power of God, the wonder of God. Wow. That's right. That's right. Because God, that here am I. Here am I. And here are you. That's correct. So now, in the fullness of God, when I receive him as my Savior, therefore you would understand, verse 10, and you are complete. Remember, the word complete is the same word as you would have in fullness in verse 9, complete in verse 10. You are filled full, complete. Where? In him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, how can we be filled full of God? Absolutely. Because God is God. That's what he is. And when I received him as my Savior, God related me to him and him to me, and made a union and a communion. It's too awesome how it all goes together. But it does. Now, in verse 11, in whom? In Christ. Also, you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When Christ died on the cross, he condemned all flesh. He cut it off. He terminated it, just like you cut off the skin. He cut it off, terminated, ended it. That's why circumcision. That's why it was a sign, the flesh. Now, Verse 11. In whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How is that? Well, tell us some more. Buried with him by baptism, identification in his death. Buried with him by baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So, I was crucified, that's right, buried and rose again, that's baptism. And, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, uncircumcised, that's right, in the flesh. But I was circumcised. No, that'll never do it. I need circumcision of the heart. I need your whole being. Terminal. The flesh, the wages of sin is death. And Adam and Eve, by one man, Adam, Romans 5, all die. All are sinners. I need to finish that. When I died, I entered it. I judged the whole thing. Now, so thus, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened and made alive together with him, also having forgiven you all trespasses. Because what, God? You went and terminated it. So all the stuff in my flesh that made for the Noahic flood and everything else, in me dwelleth no good thing, all of that you took care of, I did. And I wanted you to understand, Israel, you need to have a circumcision of your heart. You need to have that. And if you don't have that, you're not going to be saved. And I don't care, not saying that way, it won't make any difference whether you do 1,000 things and live a very disciplined life and caring and straightforward. And I'm telling you what, if your heart isn't circumcised, if you aren't trusting me, you're not going to ever be saved. I don't care what you do, who you go, where you go. We've got to do a whole lot. It won't matter how good or bad you are comparatively. You aren't going to get saved. That's all. The Jews that are Jews are in the heart. And the Gentiles that are the Gentiles are in the heart. And thus the Jews and Gentiles in the heart today are in the church, in the body of Christ, in the most wonderful way. So, I hope that helped you a little bit to understand. In closing, you're right next door. Over to Philippians. And you will notice, please, Paul, what are you going to tell us? Well, Paul said, don't get all hung up with these people that are trying to tell you, you have to do this, you got to do that. That may be, but that won't save you. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. That means to mutilate, to massacre is the word. To massacre. Looking at the Jews, you're cutting off of the flesh, and it does no good. Therefore, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have how much confidence in the flesh? How much? None. Circumcise. How much confidence do you have in your flesh? None. No thank you. No thank you. You see. Circumcised in the heart. Oh. Anyway, and in Jeremiah's day, remember, they were not as a nation, as a people. The remnant was with it, but the rest of them were not. So now, you may have a particular request as we go to prayer and remember God's working in our country and the world. A lot of stuff going on all the time. And I hope the little things we do here on Wednesday and Jeremiah and that otherwise on fear and stuff that you are just putting it to work. You know, you want to put it to work. I got it. So when you hear all the stuff and read all the stuff and who knows who, what, when, where, how, when you walk down the street, when you go to work, when you drive a car, who knows? God knows. God knows. So you are of good cheer, and your journey through time is a great one. Anyway, yes, Joe.